1937.
To Shattering Myths, I am your host, Yadam. I wanted to correct the record on two things. Actually, correct the record on one thing and expand on another that occurred during the first hour. When I provided the link to Ben Barak's website, I provided actually the name of his blog where all of the news that he chronicles on a daily basis is presented. It happens to be an extraordinarily insightful blog, and the blog is Barak Now. But the to get there is the URL for his website is Ben BenBarak.com. So that's a place worth going and a place worth bookmarking. Ben Barak, BarakK.com. During the first hour, I received a number of emails from good friends who are listeners to the program that during the first commercial break, the discussion that I was having with Scott, my producer, which we thought was off the air, was on the air. First rule that always seems to be effective in these kinds of things is don't ever say anything in secret that you wouldn't want to make public. One of the things that I mentioned was that I barely made my own show this morning because of the fact that I was reading. What I was reading was Barak's Ben's website. I was reading BenBarak.com, going back page after page after page, reading and plucking out from his website interesting stories that he had covered, thinking that as time progressed during this show and in future shows, we would cover some, if not all, of these stories and found them fascinating. He has done some really marvelous research into some of the more important events transpiring today. The second thing that came up was that I think regular listeners to this show will know that earlier this week, Larry called in. Larry is one of my good friends someone I have come to know the same way that I came to know Ben, which is through Prophet of Doom, and then later through Yada Yah, and now the Introduction to God. And I've come to know and like Larry. And Larry has had an outreach on Facebook and done something that I'm unwilling to do, which is to promote Prophet of Doom, to promote Yada Yah, and to promote An Introduction to God. You see, when I started doing this research, the first one was Prophet of Doom, and before that even Tea with Terrorists, I made a deal with God. And before I share that, I can hear Scott in the background.
I was just waiting to chime in. Continue on.
Okay. Well, I made a deal with God. You know, if you read the story of Abraham, as he and Yahweh overlooked Sodom and Gomorrah, you know that that so long as you're negotiating with God about something that He can do and remain consistent with His overall teaching and direction, that God is absolutely willing to engage in dialogue. And so, you know, I said I'd go off and seek to expose Islam following 9/11, but there were some conditions that I wanted, and those who've known me know that two of those conditions are that my home, my family would be protected, so I would not have to worry about them, because we all know that Muslims respond very ruthlessly to those who expose their religion. And the second was that we would do it together, that the moment I experienced a situation where I did not sense direct intervention in terms of God's assistance in this mission, that I would say I'm not doing this alone, and you need to find someone else. Well, one of the interesting parts of this discussion that the boss and I had, boss being Yah, I refer to him very informally, we're good friends, was that I had come out of a lifetime of sales and marketing. Yeah, the one thing that I was good at, if you were to, you know, lengthen, list your strengths and weaknesses, and if we were to go into weaknesses, it would take more than the hour we have remaining in this program. But among the strengths, I was pretty good at marketing and sales. And I did not want to be self-reliant as it related to either Prophet of Doom and the exposure and condemnation of Islam, or in Yada Yah and the introduction to God, which are not only exposures and condemnations of Christianity and Judaism, but more importantly, insights into the covenant relationship that Yahweh is offering all of us. And what I said is since I seem to be good at that, I don't want to be responsible for doing it. Now, that might be counterintuitive. You might think, hey, whatever you think you're pretty good at, you know, do that and, you know, let God take care of the rest. No, I said, no. The stuff I'm really bad at, I know you have to help me on. And so if I completely opt out of the sales and marketing, the promotion of Prophet of Doom and of Yada Yah and now of the introduction to God and do nothing to promote it, then I'm comfortable because I know that I'm not responsible for I'm responsible for the content, but I'm not responsible for anything beyond that, and I'm not the person pushing this. It was important to me. I did not want to do this if it was going to be about me. And so when a fellow like Larry came along and began to promote it on Facebook, marvelous things happened. Scores of people have written me letters over the years who have come to know Yahweh through the outreach that Larry has done in that social media. Now, bringing it to the period of time that we thought I was speaking to Scott privately, but it was aired. We talked on Monday about style over substance, and about how insulting Yahweh's message is to many of those who embrace religion. And that we also talked about how different Yahweh and Yahusha's style is from that is assumed by religious people. Religious people have their Jesus being very soft-spoken. They have him being very loving. They have him not being in-your-face, blunt, bold, and insulting. And one of the things I shared was the story of the two men on the road to Emmaus, where Yahusha is quoted in Greek, although he spoke to them in Hebrew or Aramaic, saying, you know, in essence, you're moronic here. You're just not thinking. And so that's fairly insulting. And if you read in Matan Yah 23 and you read about Yahusha's response to the scribes and Pharisees, the conservative religious and liberal political leaders of the day, man, he is in their face. He is right in their grill. I mean, you can see the steam coming out of his ears as he berates them. And when you read books like Yirmiyahu, which are written to Goyim, to people from different races and places living today in the last days, you can see God's just overwhelming animosity for religion and politics and those who promote religion and politics. So there is, if we follow Yah's teaching and Yahusha's example, we are going to be pretty aggressive. And we are going to hate not only religion, but we're going to be opposed to those who promote religious lies. Now, that said, there is some thoughts to, should we look a little bit deeper into this? And how are we likely to be the most effective? And how are we going to position ourselves in such a way that we are most consistent with Yah's teaching and Yosha's guidance. And look, there was even an email exchange between Scott and I over these last couple of days because of the questions as to we had a listener who went on a Facebook site that was offended by Larry's approach. They thought it was over the top aggressive. And if you notice in this program, I defended Larry. Larry's a good friend. I love Larry. And yet, there's always an opportunity for not only Larry, but I'm going to make this personal for me to learn from this. Because if there's anything that has been a sore spot in my past, it has been that I suffer fools poorly. I am quick to anger. I am Sioux Indian and Irish, and the Irish comes out. And I have a short fuse. And I have a tendency to be very aggressive. You know, for example, this morning when Ben spoke about scriptures and converting to Christianity, I listened. And then when there was a moment for a pause, I explained that the Christian New Testament is not scripture, and that one should not convert from one religion to another, that was not a positive thing. But rather than assaulting Ben for it, because what I said was, you know, Ben and I agree on lots of things, and it is very appropriate for a host and a guest to disagree on some things. And this is one of the things that we just disagree is in terms of Christianity and the merit of the so-called Christian New Testament. Now, while the point was made, my hope was that it was made in a non-offensive way. It is germane. It is an essential aspect of my nature. Now that I have done something that Ben mentioned in his interview with us, once you come to know what is true, then you also become aware of what is not true. And once you realize that most people have been indoctrinated by what is not true, there's this spirit in you that says you really want to reach out and correct the record. So when a mistake like that, which is so essential to the nature of this program and to Yahweh's overall message, is made, it is impossible for me simply to let it slide. If it does, it appears that I either agree with it or I don't have a way to refute it. Now, we're going to return to this because I think it's an essential part of this program and Yah's mission. Welcome back to Shattering Mists. I am your host, Yana. We were having a discussion about something that I think is extraordinarily important, which is our approach to those who promote religious and political deception, and also our approach to witnessing on Yahweh's behalf, us sharing his testimony. And we're called to do both. You know, the example that would be the best for us to follow would be that of Yahusha, but the guidance that we are encouraged to follow is that of Yahweh. And when you read the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, one of the things that just screams out of them is that God spends almost the same amount of time telling us the benefits of listening to him and embracing his Torah teaching and his covenant relationship and walking to him along the path that he has provided, which begins with Passover and ends with tabernacles, shelters, that not only does he emphasize those things and how you can best come to understand what these things are and rely upon them by observing his Torah, God also tells us the consequence of ignoring him. And he tells us his position on those who advocate political, military, economic, and religious lies. And God is really hostile towards those institutions and those individuals. So we have guidance that is established both by the example of Yahusha, who was forthright, blunt, and unequivocal in his support of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and of his relationship with Yahweh, and the fact he was not here to start a new religion, and equally blunt by way of example on how to approach those who are spreading lies. And this then gets to how we interact with others. When you come to know the truth about Yahweh, it will bubble out of you. It's impossible to hold it in. And you know that so many people have been beguiled, the natural tendency is to reach out to them. And so when do you do it? How do you do it? And how can you do so without creating animosity for no reason? What I have found, at least I can tell you what seems to be consistent with Yahweh's testimony and Yosha's example, is that when Yosha was confronted, when he was approached by religious and political leaders, he let them have it. Both barrels. I mean, right there in their face. Bam. No questions at all. You are total hypocrites. You are absolutely frauds. And I am opposed to you for these reasons. And he gave them specific reasons, all of which are based on the Torah teaching that he was opposed to them. And so when someone writes me, for example, and I've received tens of thousands of emails at Tewit Terrace or Prophet of Doom or Yada Ya or the Introduction to God or as a result of the Blog Talk Radio programs that I did for years or now this program, that when people write and they promote something that is untrue in their letter, then I view them as just like the scribes and Pharisees that approached Yahusha. I view them just as those who overtly came to oppose Yahweh. I'll respond. I'll say, no, what you've said here, and here is untrue. Here are the reasons that it's untrue. If you'd like to learn more about this, I would encourage you to go read whatever it may be, Prophet of Doom or Yada Ya or The Introduction to God. And I will encourage them to recognize the error of their way. You know, someone talks about Jesus Christ and say there was no one named Jesus. There is no title of Christ. His name is Yahusha. If you don't understand his name, you don't know him. You don't know what he stood for. You don't know what he was doing. The actual title, Masayah, is so relevant, meaning the work of Yah, that it too is that message is missed when you change it. And so when people confront me, write me, I will respond to them. The second is when somebody says something on this program where I'm part of it that is errant, I will I'll correct the record. Because if you look at Yosha, if the scribes and Pharisees, if the liberal politicians and the conservative religious folks were allowed to pontificate their lies in his presence and he doesn't say anything, by implication, he's either agreeing with them or he has no answer for them. And so you can't just let it slide. And so it is appropriate to respond. Now, we're going to also speak of when do you witness and whom do you witness to when we return to Shattering Myths after the break. I am Yerada. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yerada. We're having an interesting discussion here today, so I hope you all find it interesting in terms of approach. What is Yahweh's responsibility as it relates to exposing the myths that beguile so many and lead people away from him while witnessing to his truth? And I was talking to Scott off the air, and hopefully it was really off the air this time, not because I'm going to share exactly what I shared with Scott, so it won't make much difference. But the reality is that I sense that it is our responsibility as members of the covenant to prepare, to observe the Torah, to consider what God is teaching us, to come to understand it, and that once we understand it, to be prepared to share what we have learned. And that we should share what we have learned with those whom we come in contact with, while at the same time being prepared to expose the very Babylonian corruptions and myths of religion and politics, militarism and economic schemes that God wants us to walk away from. Because the first requirement of the covenant is to walk away from your country, from Babel, from confusion and corruption, which God explains in his prophetic statements through both Yeshayahu, Isaiah, and Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, that Babylon is religion and politics. It's nationalized and society-oriented, big-picture religion and politics, the very things that he wants us to walk away from. And so what I have come to conclude is that we ought to prepare. We ought to be willing. But we aren't asked to be the aggressor. We're not asked to go out onto the street corner and start babbling. Like we do the show. People want to listen to the show. We're here sharing what we have come to know about Yahweh and his covenant and his Torah teaching. If you are interested in this, listen. If you're not, then there are lots of other programs you can listen to. We didn't force this upon you. Likewise, when it comes to religious and political corruption, that which is in the news provides us with the opportunity to discuss these things. Now, I don't think it's appropriate to pry into a non-public figure's private life. I'm not going to go into the neighborhood church and say, you guys are all pagans, you guys are all God's enemies, and what you are doing and saying is poisoning your children. Now, Christianity has a substantial swaths of paganism in it. And it is, then Christianity is poisoning the children of the parishioners of that church. Those things are true. But not our job to go out into those kinds of places and to rattle their cages. The likelihood of accomplishing anything that is of merit is nil. Until someone is willing to listen, wants to listen, is willing to forego a cherished belief if proven invalid, there is no hope that evidence and reason are going to prevail on them anyway. It's impossible to benefit from Yah's testimony until you're open-minded. One of the most powerful passages in the whole of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms speaks about how the Torah is easy to understand if you're open-minded. But it ends with that caveat. And so to approach people who are naturally predisposed to be opposed to the Torah, all you're going to do is irritate them. You aren't going to accomplish anything. Now, that isn't to say that it isn't appropriate to occasionally drop some triggers, questions. You know, just in passing, say something that might cause someone to begin to question their religion. You know, say something like, why is Christmas and why is Easter important days, the single most important days on the Christian calendar, when both Christmas and Easter have nothing to do with anything in Scripture and have everything to do with the pagan religions of Babylon and Egypt and Greece and Rome? You know, why when Yahweh says that I want you to observe the Shabbat, which is the seventh day, do Christians worship on the first day of the week? You know, why when God says he is one, do Christians speak of a trinity? Why when God says his name is Yahusha, do Christians change it to Jesus? There are thousands of questions that Christians cannot answer. Just bring up one or two of them. And don't do anything other than, if somebody is really genuinely interested in a discussion, be prepared to talk with them. And so that's kind of my take on all of this, is that it's probably appropriate for me, myself, to listen a little longer before responding. Tried to do that this morning with Ben, who is a good friend. I try to be a bit softer and put the correction in context of a greater whole, so that it's just not so tormenting and in your face. It's not designed to belittle, but just to distinguish. And then to not overtly go on the attack, but instead to be responsive. Hi, Scott.
I just feel like Larry has such a passion, and he, other than you, he's been the one person that has taught me more than anybody. And if I could have the passion that he has for Yahweh, I feel like I would know everything there is to know about the book within a month. And I don't think that should be lost in this, is that he does it all with a lot of passion and a lot of conviction, and that is something that I don't think should be overlooked.
Yeah, something I love about him is something I share with him.
Exactly.
Is our passion. It's something I share with, and we share, all of us, with Dode. We mentioned to David during the initial hour of the program. If there was anything that Dode had in spades beyond intellect, it was passion. And passion is really not the beginning. It is actually the end. And so long as passion is the end and not the beginning, then I think you're in the right place. And let me explain that. Most religious people, fans, fanatics, begin with passion. And when you begin with passion, there is no depth to what you're doing. But if you end with passion, as Dode did, Dode went through this process. He first said, all right, I've got this message from God. It's called the Torah. All right, I'm going to look at it, to observe it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it out loud, which means to recite it. I am going to study this book of teaching and guidance from Yahweh. That was step one. Number two, I'm going to think about and make connections between and try to understand what I'm reading. And that bien is the Hebrew word of understanding, thinking that leads to understanding is the next step. And then once Dode began, I'm learning by observation. I'm thinking so that I understand. He came to respect. He came to revere not only the author of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, but also the offer that was being made. He came to respect and revere both. So he came to know Yahweh as he is and came to respect the offer that he was making. And the next thing that Dode did is he responded. He said, I accept. So he went through this process, but then something else happened. He began then to have this passion to share what he had learned, to explain what he had come to understand, to help others experience this same journey that he himself had embraced, had come to enjoy. And that passion is what resonates out of the lyrics of Dode's songs. It is that passion that resonates out of the speech of Larry. To some degree, I hope it resonates out of my speech. I love Yahweh. We're buds. He's my dad. We have a wonderful relationship. Now, that doesn't make me perfect. I'm still a flawed guy. You know, that's why I like Dode so much. He was a flawed guy. But his relationship with God because of Yah was spectacular. Because of the Torah was spectacular. And that passion ought to exude. And it does in Larry, which is why I love him. Now, one last thought on this, though. In the spoken word, our tone of voice carries almost as much meaning as do the words we choose. That is not true in writing, particularly if you're writing in a social medium where there's kind of instant messaging. And you can, you know, as Scott wrote me one night, you can say, you know, good night, yada. And it says, and it could be either, wow, that was a wonderful discussion. Have a good night. This was, you brought some joy and insight into my life. You know, I want you to have a good night. Or you can read that as good night as, you know, go away now. You know, I'm done with you. And so without the voice inflection, it is much, much more difficult in written communication, particularly instant messaging. And people can read the same words and read them so radically different.
Okay.
And it's kind of why the individual who wrote me that brought up this issue that we were talking about privately in that first commercial break is that we've actually now gone from being, wow, this is pretty confrontational to being friends. I'm sure that this individual is listening to the program now. I'll probably receive a letter from him. And it's easy to see how one person's passion was misconstrued, but also how, on the other side, sometimes, I know I can speak for me. Let me just speak for me. Sometimes I come across too brash, too bold, too blunt. Too quick, not willing to listen as much as I should have, and not being as thoughtful in a response as perhaps would have been ideal. After the break, we have Jason from Pennsylvania, from Passionvania, and he's going to speak of his passion for Yah, and the realization is that because Yah's testimony is unpopular, our passion is going to rub people the wrong way. So we'll return to this subject when Shattering Myths returns after the break. Jason from Passionvania on the line, and Jason wants to speak about passion. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Bless you. I just want to say this really quick because I know I called in late. I just want to say when I think about your show and what you do, and people like Larry, I would call you warriors for accuracy for Yahweh. That's how I feel what you guys are doing.
Well, I'm happy to wear that title, but I'll tell you, I'll pin that to my lapel and say I'm proud to wear that pin.
Use it. Use it.
Yeah.
Please do, because I think it's accurate. Because I'm going to say this, Yada. You know, all of us aren't going to agree on everything. I mean, where you have two people, there's going to be 17 opinions sometimes.
Effectively, let me interject here for a moment. If you have one person who is actually open and honest with themselves, they won't agree all the times with themselves. I'm spending the majority of my time editing the things that I wrote 4, 5, and 6 years ago because I realized that I've learned a lot over these past 5 or 6 years that have caused me to disagree with things that I wrote back then. So I'm even willing to disagree with my former me. So
and me too.
Yes.
You know what? That's the essence. You know. That's the essence of wanting to know the truth.
Yes.
And, you know, and having an open mind and being ready to accept new teachings that come from him. So,
now, you know, something else that you've brought to my mind, if you don't mind me adding here, is that one of the things that I think is important for us to do and to be effective is to minimize ourselves in this whole process.
Yeah.
In other words, that to be passionate on behalf of accuracy in transmitting Yahweh's testimony, then the emphasis should not be on the messenger, but on the message.
That's right. And that's killing the ego.
Right. That's the reason why I said, you know, the last thing I wanted to do, I'm willing to be available. I'll share. I'll talk whenever an opportunity is given. And, you know, we'll make an announcement here shortly that there's an additional radio program that I'm going to begin next week.
Right.
And when an opportunity is provided, I didn't solicit it, then I'm going to pursue it because I'm passionate to share Yah's message. But you're right. We individually are irrelevant. And if we can pull ourselves out of these discussions and instead to focus on the message that Yah conveyed, and on even when we're confronting that which isn't true, we're confronting the religious myths, we're confronting political myths, if we instead of attacking the individual that is promoting the myth, we instead criticize what they're saying that isn't
right.
True.
In love. Because we know that the essence of the Father is a hob. It's love.
Well, only to an extent. And this is the place where I have a little different view.
Right.
I do not love the proponents of religion. When I'm confronting them, it is the only way that I can be loving in my relationship with Yahweh and loving to the children of the covenant is to hate to despise those who are promoting religious myths.
Right. What was the phrase we used, Giada, before when I was on air? Righteous indignation.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is the mistake that so many religious people make, that if they see someone who is rebuking a Christian tenet like the Trinity, like the name Jesus, and they're not doing it in a soft, loving way, they think that that person is speaking of Satan and not of Yahweh. But the fact is that when we confront the religious misconceptions, we ought to be antagonistic. The love is our willingness to hate that which hurts God's children and leads people away from God. So it's actually, we approach the lies hating them and despising those who promote the lies. And we do so out of love for Yahweh, for his teaching, and for his covenant family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think the beauty of what you do, Yada, is that you challenge the people that have been embedded in religion into coming out of that Babylon and understanding that the essence of Yahweh is far greater than any building or any denomination, whatever you say. You know, if you got to come out of that
Come out of Babylon, my people. And God, first and foremost, wants us to be observant, wants us to think so that we respond to him. I'm Yada. This has been Shattering Myths.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leading them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe...